Focusing on one step of positive progress every day is the measure of a success. I thought that was such a freeing thing for me, is there are days I feel like I haven't even done that. And then what is that one step of positive progress that we can make in any one of our lives? And that's, it kind of comes down to one generative decision.
You are listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, sharing our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, click the link in the show notes or visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan Freeberg, and if you hadn't guessed it already, we have kind of an interesting episode for you here today. Brian and I actually were having this conversation, and we decided to just start recording and see what happens with it. And to set up a little bit more context, so I live out here in Portland, Oregon, and a couple of weeks ago, we lost power for not quite 2 days. There was a massive ice storm, and something like 330,000 people across Oregon lost power. And so I was talking to Brian about it, and I was just sort of telling him, you know, it's really interesting how you have to adapt and change and pivot and do all this stuff when you're suddenly faced with this unexpected challenge or this unexpected change. And I wonder if there might be something here we can talk about. And I should say, by the way, that we were videoing this and I had this huge gash like between my eyes and my forehead. And so I was explaining to him what happened, where that came from. So the rest of the podcast here, he and I are taking this one idea and really running with it. He comes up with a few great things, which makes me think of some more things, which in turn then gives him some other ideas and insight. We talk about adaptation. We talk about well-being. We talk about how to figure out what your business looks like, what your leadership looks like, what your family, personal, all kinds of things look like as it relates to change and taking care of yourself and kind of figuring out where you want to go. Enjoy this episode. Please leave us a comment or shoot us an email. Connect@leadershipvisionconsulting.com is our general inbox. We'd love to just hear your feedback and insights on this. And who knows, maybe you triggered something in your mind that makes you think of something, another maybe additional take or some kind of takeaway that we could all benefit from. All right, here you go, back to my story, the power outage, and then we get into the good stuff. Enjoy. And so the first couple hours, it's kind of fun. We can't go outside and play because it's just like all this ice is continuing to drop and it's just slushy and kind of gross. And we just sort of scavenge for lunch. I figure out how to get our gas fireplace working. I go back out to the garage, and I had obviously opened up the garage door. Yep. You can't use a camping stove. And since there's no power, you know, I didn't lift it up as high as it would normally go. You know where this is going. And so I'm coming back in, and I don't realize that I haven't ducked enough, and I just clobber myself right there, gushing blood.
Oh, no.
I come inside. Malia's like, what did you do? I was like, I was wrestling a wildebeest to the ground for our next meal.
Who was fighting me for our hot dogs.
The whole day was just crazy. The next day we go over to my in-laws. And so we're all masked up. Mm-hmm. We like have like 8 devices charging. I'm trying to download shows for the kids because we're like running out of stuff to do with them at home. And then she texts me. She's like, the power's back on. I'm like, kids, get your stuff, we're leaving. It's like, just that fast, everything kind of changes.
Yeah.
And so what I've been thinking about the last 2 days, what in our business, what in our like leadership lives are like that, where you kind of, you have to make this quick pivot and you're constantly quickly pivoting because the context around you, the environment, the information, it changes so fast and so significantly that you completely alter your reality. So, you know, we lose power and all of a sudden, all right, where's the camping stove? Where's the candles? Get all this stuff out. You get it back. And I was like, all that stuff that you have, were like so excited to find, this like pack of 50 unopened tea lights. And now you're like, get that out of my sight. We don't need that anymore. You know what I mean? Is there any sort of leadership application?
What is coming to my mind is the speed by which you made that adaptation to go to camp stove and tea lights.
Right,
and
right.
Wherever there was power.
Blankets,
yep. I think that many people have been doing that over and over and over again. So that when you got a call from your wife saying power's back on, you knew how to get back home. Right. I think there are plenty of people now who have gone through so many changes. They don't know where normal is anymore. They don't know where to go back to. because all the memories of where they go back to, those places and those experiences have also changed. Because you know what, Nathan? We just talked about this in my CEO mentoring group. Because many of the people that were in that call, like 11 people, and everybody had some kind of complaint about some level of self-care, professional disorientation, not knowing what to focus on. And part of where the conversation evolved to was this sense of orientation. Like you've gone 12, 10, 14 months of making these adaptations and adjustments over and over again that you somewhat have lost your way. Or that path back to normality, that path doesn't exist anymore. But there are plenty of other people that were asking questions about, you know, how do you reconnect with a business partner? How do you reconnect with a spouse? How do you create patterns of behavior that reflect the time that we're in?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that's part, because I also think that sometimes we have made big adjustments. And like right now, it's like much smaller adjustments, and they're more frequent.
Right. And the other thing about adjustments that I've been thinking of is how many of us have not made adjustments or are unwilling to make adjustments even when they're like so obviously necessary. So like the thing that happened to me probably a half a dozen times is as I was going to different places in the house, I would like going to get the camping stuff out of our storage area, no windows. I'd walk into the room, flip the lights and just stand there like, why can't I see? Like, oh, duh. Don't have the power, walk back upstairs, get the flashlight, do the thing. Going out to the garage, you know, when the garage door's closed, no windows in the garage, I'd flip the light on, walk down the little stairs and be like, I can't see. And like, I wonder how many of us are just so used to doing things a certain way. We're so used to flipping the switch and going. I mean, I even told my son, he got a Nintendo Switch for Christmas. And I don't know, I learned recently what a Switch does, but it's like this handheld thing that you can also hook up and play in the big screen. And he's like, Dad, can we go play in the big screen? I'm like, sure. So we go downstairs. I'm in the process of plugging it in. I'm like, no, we can't play in the big screen. There's no power, buddy. Sheesh. Why? Like, and I wonder like what things, you know, during COVID or even other times when, you know, things change in life, are we just so used to doing that it's like these painfully embarrassing wake-up calls of like, no, wait, shoot, we can't, we have to adjust, we have to adapt. And I don't know if there's like solutions for that besides just, you know, getting hit between the eyes quite literally with the garage door before you're like, oh, right, I can't operate this way. Because I wonder, I mean, I don't know if I want to kill this metaphor, but how many times do we have to stand in the dark wondering why I can't see, how I'll get hit in the head before we're like, okay, I need to think through. So eventually what I started doing, so I learned by the end of this 36-hour ordeal, it's like, I'm just going to keep my headlamp or flashlight in my pocket at all times. And so, you know, and I gave them, all the kids had one, and I gave them these little lanyards so they could wear them around their neck.
That is hysterical. Now, this may be a bias of mine, so I'm totally open to having a bias like this. But I am done talking about COVID. You know, like I'm tired of it. And then I was reminded on Tuesday that people are still struggling with this. Enlightening is an overused word, but it was enlightening. Like, oh, people are really still wrestling with this, and they may not understand the implications of the emotional strain or the cognitive strain that they're having to go through day in and day out. You're not really aware of it until something really hits you and you feel like you're breaking down. Last week I had a really bad week, and it felt like I got like the week hit me. Nathan, have you ever been driving and you drove over something and you're dragging it for a while and you're like, is that a branch beneath my car? And you kind of just keep driving until it like naturally falls off.
Yes. In driver's ed, I drove over a cone and drug it 20 miles down the highway. And I was like, something sounds... Or not driver's ed, but like that learner's permit.
Yeah.
It's one of the first times I drove by myself. And then I got to my destination and I was like, ooh.
That's hysterical. We went and saw that at church. We saw a minivan pulling out of the church parking lot, ran over a cone. That cone got lodged up in the wheel well and off they went down the highway. Yep.
Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom.
It wasn't that sound. It's just that constant rubbing. But last week I felt like, you know, the week hit me on Wednesday and dragged me underneath its wheels until Friday.
that's not where I thought you were going with that, but keep going.
just talking about it, like you realize you are as much susceptible to anything as anyone else is. And I pride myself in, you know, taking care of myself, but not in the holistic way, much more right. In the...
We'll be right back.
At Leadership Vision Consulting, we have spent 23 years helping individuals explore the depth and dimension of their personal strengths and have helped hundreds of teams build positive culture. We're excited to now announce our new online membership platform that brings together the resources, community, and motivation that you need to grow your influence and build a positive team culture. Through our courses, workshops, live Q&A sessions, and more, you'll gain the skills and confidence you need to lead effectively. And with our supportive community of like-valued leaders, you'll never feel like you're doing it alone. Visit leadershipvisionconsulting.com/community to learn more.
Well, it's interesting what you said about, you know, you're over talking about COVID or whatever. I'm sick of talking about COVID too, but I feel like COVID has almost become like a term for this just altered reality that is, I think, just going to be our reality for quite a while. And so going along with our theme here of like, how are we adapting and adjusting and how are we, quote unquote, whatever this new normal is that our world is going to be in for what seems like a while, like how do we continue to adapt and adjust? And then what from those adjustments and adaptations can we learn from?
Well, think of all the areas that you've had to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
Like the types of things that will never be the same again. Someone that we're watching, I don't know what show it was, but some kind of newscast because we were interested in travel, you know, like when can we get out of here again? And how many airlines are doing that rapid COVID testing in their terminal or wherever that is? And someone just said, once 9/11 happened, you took your shoes off every time. Like that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And so too might some kind of biological testing be a part of just how you check in. This is part of what you do at the airport is you get there, you have to get there earlier now, and you have to have that biological stamp on your ticket saying that you've cleared. Yesterday, we went to church for Ash Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
The first time we've been to church in a year. They were only allowing a couple of people in, so we got to go in. And there are only two other people that were in this entire cathedral and one clergy.
That's crazy.
Yep. And so they had chairs that were spaced out like 20 feet apart, temperature and everything before you went in. But to be in like our home cathedral, cavernous, with nobody in there, that seems like we're never going to be able to go back. Then to go back with it completely empty, like that was kind of, it was emotional, it was frightening. Then when we left, we're like, well, is this the new reality? Like, are we never going to be able to go back to, you know, having people that are able to even sit together? Because they had like half the pews are taken out of the place so they could put chairs up. To grocery shopping, like that now scares me. That's where I feel probably the most at risk every week is going grocery shopping. And like you used to complain about our pantry not having any food. Now I'm going through this food famine, you know, crazy thing where I am afraid that I'm going to go back to the store and have empty shelves again. And so now, like, our pantry is packed.
How does anyone, as a leader, how do they know what are, as a temporary adaptation versus we're going to have to completely reset or rethink the way our business, our ministry, using your church example, our nonprofit, whatever it is. Because there's the example of the power going off of like, okay, this is, we can do pretty much anything for a couple days if it gets to that. But then like with the airlines, it's like that could be the new post 9/11 type of a normal. So how do leaders know which one it is?
There are a couple things I can say about that. And the first one is this, ask for help. I can't emphasize that enough. Ask for some outside objective perspective. Someone that is working with you, someone that knows you, that has a completely different experience than you do. I mean, just different, not necessarily completely. Because I really believe that there has been this sense of tunnel vision that has set in on many of us. And I've heard that phrase used a couple of times by psychologists I listen to in different podcasts. But this idea that, you know, your world is shrinking, your vision and your perspective is shrinking. And when that is shrinking, you're making now decisions that are also being seen through that tunnel vision. And secondarily, if you think of that same tunnel vision with emotions, like you're becoming more emotionally sensitive as well. Like you're, maybe your nerve endings are a little bit closer to the surface than they were before. And that's why I think you need someone to be speaking to you from the outside. So much research pointing to that the more stress you're under or the more pressure or challenges you face, the less likely you are to make good, sustainable decisions. So number one, ask for help. The second piece of advice is make shorter timelines. I think one of the things that people are doing right now is they're still making decisions with that much longer timeline. And I know that when COVID first hit us, we made decisions that were now 1 week and 1 month at a time. Like, what are we going to do this week? And that,
this is what we're doing today.
I think that timeline is also something very different because you don't know 1, 2, or 3 months from now, much less, 2 or 3 weeks from now, what could be changing in that period of time. I think that there are many leaders that are still trying to make decisions with a much longer term in mind than something that is much shorter. You've heard many people say, run the short sprints, or, are you a marathon leader?
Yeah.
I think right now, short sprints are much more healthy. A third thing that I would recommend is having someone help you, assist you, advise you in how you're taking care of yourself. Think of all the different dimensions that go along with personal care, self-care, health and well-being. What's the equation that works for you? Is it movement, exercise, sleep? And not just getting more of it, but also asking yourself, have you gotten too much of it? I think that many of us look at, I'm eating too much. I'm also asking people, are you resting too much? Are you watching too much TV? Are you sleeping too much? There are some patterns that can have that could have developed over the past 6 to 9 months. You may not realize that it's a too much syndrome, and that's affecting your health. And because most of us look to lack as a sign of not being healthy, but sometimes more in different areas is also not that healthy. I was talking to a really good friend of mine who's a business colleague, and I really respect his opinion. And he just challenged me as a business leader. He said, we have to be very aware of the macro environment, not just our micro environment. Oftentimes, leaders are focused on the matters that are in the business or matters that are on the business. And you hear that vernacular and that jargon tossed around all the time. But this is what he said. He said, I'm challenging leaders to think of how the business. And so how are you operating right now in light of all the changes that have happened, like in your environment, in our country, and in this world? There's a much different, like, how am I going to operate now? Are there ways that we can operate more efficiently or more lean? Or are there things that our companies need more of to operate better in this how question? I never quite thought of it as like that higher level than on the business, but how is our company doing? Because what I did with that, Nathan, is I then went to this, how am I doing? And so not just, hey, how are you doing? It's like, how am I doing? Like, how am I doing, my diet, my exercise, my movement, my rest, my reading, my writing, how am I doing that now? And how is that different?
That's really good. It's causing my ideation to go in a several different directions, because I think back to, well, one of the first things you said, I've lost track of what order these are in, but the different timelines. And I immediately thought of all of the meetings that we had set up to do podcasting and other stuff, I think for 6 months or something like that, maybe not that far, till summer. And then we found out that Parker was going to be going back to school 2 days a week, and it just changed everything. It's like, oh, wait, okay, so if that's happening, all these other things click into place, and how quickly that just changed. Speaking of kids.
Daddy, the TV turned off by myself.
You're done already. Here, I'm almost done. I'll come out in a second. That's life right now. But how, like, something changes like that and you just have to recalibrate. And so, I think for leaders, for anybody, we're all leaders. So just to think of that, like, what am I doing today? What am I doing this week? The other thing I want to touch on is that the whole well-being aspect of it. I just think that's maybe something to really focus on for everyone. Because if, you're physically and mentally and spiritually and emotionally strong, then you can kind of figure out the rest of it. But man, sometimes getting there. I want to back up and also go forward. You said last week was a bad week for you. So how did you, Brian Shubring, leadership and strengths guru, how did you get unstuck, if you will, from under the car and take care of yourself to get, well, I guess I should ask first, are you in a better place now?
Oh yeah, I feel like a different person. Part of my getting out from this trap of being run over on Wednesday, that nasty week that it was to finish the work. We're on camera every single day, and you have this emotional roller coaster. It's challenging work. It's exhilarating work. Just the schedule has been nonstop. So I just felt like I had to get through the work. That was number one. Number two was obviously to get my rest so I could prepare for the next day. And the third thing was just get to Saturday. Well, Saturday didn't go like I planned, and like that just added more stress, and that led to Valentine's Day. So that was finally like this kind of reprieve of, you know, just the two of us, we can kind of regroup. And that was very, very helpful. And then just starting a new week, that just sounds so simple because this week has been no less packed full of events. But how I've regained is obviously time to reconnect with Linda. We had a chance to reconnect with our daughter, got a chance to talk with my parents. And so like, it was for me reconnecting relationally, and that helped stabilize me, kind of just level set my perspective. And again, when I said, you know, getting objective help, I also received that Tuesday morning CEO roundtable that I'm a part of, that was on Tuesday. And that to me was probably the one thing that kind of made it all work for me is, there I am with my peers, realizing that we're all going through this together. We all are feeling the same thing. We're all having challenges because I just feel like I get isolated. And that's why I keep saying, or have been reminding myself, ask for help, listen to objective feedback, talk to loved ones on how they're perceiving you and how well you're doing, you know, and also try to get some successes in there. You know, didn't help that it was like 25 below Fahrenheit. That was air temperature. So that didn't help either.
At least you didn't lose your power.
Yep, that is true. Did not lose our power. There's something else. You talk about timelines, and I was going to make some feedback on that because that guy I was talking to earlier, one of my friends, he said that he was also a part of a Minneapolis St. Paul restaurant group, and they had a discussion, and they were talking about setting short-term goals because, you know, that's an industry that has been completely traumatized by everything. And somebody in that meeting said this: focusing on one step of positive progress every day is the measure of a success. And when he said that, I'm like, what did you just say? So he repeated it: focusing on one step of positive progress every day is the measure of a success. And just that alone, to hear from some of the most prominent restaurateurs that are in this, you know, 3.5 million person city, that's how they're measuring success. I thought that was such a freeing thing for me is, you know, there are days I feel like I haven't even done that. So,
yeah,
but that puts it back into timeline, you know? And then what is that one positive progress, that one step of positive progress that we can make in any one of our lives? And that's, it kind of comes down to one generative decision. Oh, and this came up today since I just got off an engagement. We talked about the need for regeneration. You oftentimes hear us talk about the generative aspect of strengths, that when a strength is a strength, it's generative, it's bringing life to you and life to other people. We also say that strengths can be degenerative, that, you know, when they're sucking the life out of you and they're sucking the life out of somebody else, and then it's not a strength. But we don't often talk that much about the regenerative nature of strengths. And so the question to the group was, how is it that you have this moment where you can like offload or off put, you know, some of the burdens that you're carrying so that you can give yourself a chance to regenerate? So we gave some examples, like those of you who have the strengths of developer or relator or empathy or includer, you can feel like you're generative, but you're also carrying some of the weight of what that strength mm-hmm. naturally does. How is it that you give yourself permission to regenerate, to offload some of that burden you're carrying? If you have intellection, input, deliberative, some of the, you know, more complex, like analytical, the thinking themes, where is your chance to regenerate right now? But then using your language of strengths to help you know, what do you need to regenerate? I need to regenerate new areas of meaning. I need to regenerate opportunities to make decisions that I can actually see the results of, regenerate ways that I think in different resources that I'm reading, regenerate different ways of training, things that I'm working on physically. And then also, most importantly, is regenerating my opportunity to dream into what the future really is. So there's just a really interesting interplay of how is it that we can leverage the language of strengths to ask ourselves which strength of mine needs to be regenerated. What do you hear there, Freeberg?
I kind of stopped listening partway through that because the idea of regeneration just, I was like, whoa, what is that for me? And I was like, well, is that, you know, going for a run or a ride? Or I think I told you that we got a piano like 6 months ago, whatever. And I've been renewing my love for that. And when I take a new piece of music and I kind of like, I can play it, not even like perfectly, but just, oh, I could sit down at a party if we ever have those again. And people are like, oh, that's Don't Stop Believing from Journey. That's awesome. You know, just kind of that fun little, like, it's such a spark of joy and it kind of like boosts me up. However stressed I am about the kids being crazy or like a deadline I have to get this podcast done, edit or something, if I can go and just lose myself in a piece of music for 15 or 30 minutes, it's just like, it feels so good. It feels like I've taken a nap. It just, and some nights, like, you know, going back to like, and a lot of people are watching Netflix, is like some nights, like I'll just go and play for an hour if, you know, Malia's doing something else. But so pretend I'm in a one-to-one. What would you hear?
Well, think of what it means to regenerate. You're giving yourself a break from the norm so that you can regain some energy to re-engage. Hmm. And so when I think about your example of playing the piano and knowing you, I think, well, this is a way that Nathan's strengths of ideation, communication, and restorative can get a break from what they're normally focused on to apply to something that they never get to focus on. Your ideation and thinking into what and how you're going to play restorative, figuring out something that you don't know how to play the song yet. And then communication, like expressing yourself through something extremely tangible and sensory, like playing the piano. So that is not I'm not saying turn your strengths completely off. I'm just saying, how do you distract those strengths from their natural places where they're experiencing or generating life to a new place where you can regenerate. Think of an electric car or a hybrid car. Part of the regeneration of the battery is through movement. You know, you're not using the engine in the same way that you were before. The motion of the wheels regenerating some part of the battery, you're still moving while regeneration is happening. Because like I said before, it's awfully tempting to think that you're regenerating by simply not doing anything at all. That can have its own side effects.
Right. You know, when you think about your strengths and how they work, and my strength of communication, most of the day, it's not going well. I don't feel like I'm able to use that strength because I'm with children. And it's very difficult, as you know, to communicate with kids. And it feels like that isn't, you know, I'm not able to use that in the way that I would want to if I was with grownups or whatever. Like, I'm being misunderstood constantly. I told you not to do that. You're doing that. And so to sit down and express myself in a way that, like, this sounds at least a little bit like you could sing along to this. Mm-hmm. Like, this just feels so good. And I feel like that is coming to life. So,
yep. One example for me, Nathan, about regeneration that we use often is, you know, after a very long day of being on camera, working with clients, it is this complete, like, tightly wound knot of my strength of connectedness, intellection, for sure, of just how wound up my brain is, seeking meaning, thinking deeply as fast as possible. That at night, one of the things I love to do is I like to watch what Linda would call mindless television, things that you would think would never interest me. But what it's doing is it's like completely causing me to unravel what I normally do and try to like make sense of something that I would never really choose on my own if I was, you know, completely awake. But it is to distract me so that I can regenerate the side of my mind that is always thinking critically, always trying to find meaning. It's just way of pressing pause on the normal to regenerate so that I have the strength the next day.
You're also someone who spends a big chunk of time in the morning in intense solo academic work, if you will, writing, reading, and then you're all day, as you said earlier, on camera and with people and having to make lots of observations. And so I can't imagine at night you doing anything, not that watching garbage shows, as I call them, isn't productive, but it's not like, you know, you're not going to like do woodworking or do a home remodeling project. Like you have nothing
totally
left
right.
in your head.
Yeah, like, I'm not thinking like that. You know, I want to be unthinking.
Like, right. I was talking to a friend recently who broke his wrist around Christmas time and he hasn't been able to work. He's a nurse. And he's like, I am going crazy because not only am I out of work, I'm on short-term disability, but I can't do anything around the house that I would normally want to do to like keep me busy. And he's not someone who likes TV at all, but essentially that's all he can do. And he's like, I am not in a good place at all. And so I wonder like how many of us just haven't found the safe thing they can do to regenerate their strengths, to bring themselves some sort of level of well-being. I mean, early on when everyone was baking and doing all that stuff, it's like, all right, that's perhaps a coping mechanism or bringing joy in some way. But I don't think we talk about it enough. You and I, Leadership Vision or society in general, of how do you take care of yourself in ways that are productive?
Mm-hmm. That provides balance, harmony, and synchronicity. So how is it that you are living in balance? So that there's that question. Regeneration or generative expression is also harmony. How is it that you live in harmony with those that are nearest to you? That's also part of what I'm asking. Then I'm also asking that people think of how they're living in sync with their environment and the culture that is around them, because that is an awareness of, you know, how going to the grocery store is affecting you, how being in public is affecting you. Well, how do you live in sync with that environment so that you're not bringing any additional stress on yourself, nor are you bringing additional stress on somebody else? So that was part of one of our client engagements this week, was that those three different dimensions of paying attention to our own personal health and well-being. How am I living in balance with what I need? How am I living in harmony with those that are nearest to me that I'm sharing life with right now? And how do I live in sync with the environment and the culture that I'm finding myself in?
Yeah, and the more we can articulate that for ourselves and then somehow articulate that to those that we're closest with, they're, you know, living with, because they're the ones that often get the brunt of our lack of balance or lack of harmony or lack of whatever, can be really, well, I think it'd be really helpful for us, because, you know, you can think in your mind, oh, I'm doing this. But then like, so my son, poor kid, like he'll sometimes get the brunt of my stress, anxiety, just feeling like kind of out of control. And I'm trying to do a good job at is coming back, you know, hopefully not too much later, but she'll be like, hey, this wasn't really about you. Here's what I'm doing.
Yep.
And then in his almost 8-year-old brain, sometimes he'll ask me these clarifying questions that are so innocent and simple, but it'll be like, yeah, that's a good question. That really wasn't, it just helps me think in other ways that if I had just, had I not done that. So I think to your earlier point about finding help, you know, we're talking about business stuff. I think this is also an area that, you know, on a more personal level, maybe we can do just with those that were near.
Ask your life partner, ask your spouse, call a friend who knows you, just get someone else,
your roommates,
to help.
Yeah.
Just talk through something and be willing to address the fear of being known in that way. Part of this whole process is understanding that sometimes we create our own boundaries that we can't get out of, and that then we fear the other side of that. There's no real misunderstanding that we will have to face fears to have this kind of conversation or to make some of these adjustments.
Adding to that, something that I've been kind of working through on my own is like, and many people I think have been brought up in either family systems or maybe a religious tradition or a culture or some one of those things where like asking for help or saying that you need help or, you know, anything related to that is a sign of weakness, or like in my case, like a man's job is to do this and you just kind of suck it up and you do it and you don't complain about it. And sometimes it feels like too much for that. And if you kind of keep swallowing all those things, it's just not helpful.
Yep.
You know? Can't relate to that at all?
Nope.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. If you found value from this episode, we'd appreciate it if you would subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and a host of others. Please share this podcast and our other resources with anyone you think would benefit from going deeper into our strengths-based approach to individual, team, and organizational development.
Brian, thank you. This was
fun. Thanks for listening.
It's fun riffing with you. I think this will be helpful. I think it'll, if nothing else, just give people a few other things to think about. So
I think that with your skill set, there will be some great editing. Come up with at least 24 minutes of material.
Well, we have 52, so I'm going to stop recording now, Brian. Okay. Goodbye.
I'm Nathan Freeberg, and on behalf of our entire team, thanks for listening.